You are listening to the Crazy Town Podcast interview shows, number one with the hosts of the Sex Work BB podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the first of our interview series episodes. It's going to have our episode, I think this was on episode 1 and 1.5 of season 2. We interview the hosts of the Sex Work BB podcast, Kyra Kane and Shay Taylor, but one of them is no longer on the show. Yeah. It's just Kyra Kane now. So I think it's at the Sex Work BB Pod on Twitter, I think is their thing.
I think it's still that, yeah.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. Enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, and welcome to a special interview edition of the Crazy Town Podcast. My name is Jonas, I'm your host, and I'm here with
TNT Dynamite, the explosive one, TNT D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T.
That one sounded like it hurt.
Yeah, it did.
You're like, oh, I sound like T.I. over there. So anyways, this is our interview anthology. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/crazytownmedia. That's where our live season 3 podcasts are going to be put. Also, YouTube channel is under Crazy Town Media. Make sure you subscribe and also follow us on Twitter at Crazy Town Media. So this is our interview with the Sex Work BB podcast host. They are cam models and they do podcasts. They were split across episodes 1 and 1.5 of season 2, but we put them all in one place. It's going to be the full interview. It's probably, I don't know, 80 minutes or so. So we're going to get right into it, TNT.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Enjoy the interview, everybody.
Where am I?
All right, and we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast, and we have two very special guests, Shay Taylor and Kyra Kane from the Sex Work BB Podcast. Go ahead and say hello, guys.
Hey! What's up, Kyra? The other
okay.
One is Shay.
Yeah. All right, do you want to tell everybody where they can find your podcast and all that stuff on the interwebs?
Sure. You want me to do it, Shay, or you want to do it?
Go for it.
Here I go. You can tell she's really talkative. So we are hosted by SoundCloud right now. It's Sex Work BB, so that's SexWorkBB. .com. You can also search for us on iTunes. You can find us with the same on Twitter. So it's at SexWorkBB. It's pretty universal what our name is. We're very interactive. You'll find us. You will. Shay? Did I miss something?
No.
We have a Patreon?
Yes. I think that's it.
Okay. Good. Well, do you want to tell everyone what you guys do for a living and kind of explain kind of what it is, a basic overview, so for people who don't know?
We just talked about this, and we were telling how it's like we need like a 30-second elevator speech, you know, but right. We okay. Do so much that it's really hard to like narrow it in.
I feel like instead of doing like a speech, what we tend to do is like bullet points, like 2 cam models, clip makers, amateur porn stars. We also started a podcast that's about sex work by sex workers who do sex work, masturbation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that covers about all of it.
I do some of that myself.
I don't know what a cam model is, I guess. It's kind of hard to explain. It's because it's not just a strip club online. Like, and there's so many different types of camming. Some people like Shay, she's a cam model that does a lot of private shows, and so she'll go one-on-one with a lot of people and do whatever. It could be anything, probably from talking to doing something specific. And then I'm a cam model that has live shows where I have, like, a goal where it's like, we have to have $100 and I'll take off my top. The goal is to get naked. The goal is to masturbate. The goal is to have a party. So it's different for everything, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Now, is there a reason that you choose to do the group show compared to doing private shows where you choose to do private shows other than group shows? Like, is there a different, like, meta?
I think it really depends on the girl and just kind of what they
I mean, it's a personality thing, you know, and not that I don't have a personality to do group shows and she doesn't have a personality to do private shows, but you just find kind of things that work for you in this industry. Yeah. Some girls do really, really well just making clips. They don't do shows at all. And so I think we both kind of tried it all when we first started, and you just find where you make more money, where you enjoy yourself more.
See, it's I started with my free cams and I just stayed there. Like I just stayed there until recently.
Yeah. But so. She's tried the private shows and just didn't really like it, you know, and and it's not that I don't like doing the group shows. It just, I don't make as much money. And
that's how I feel.
You know, I have to invest my time where I'm making money, so.
Exactly. Well, I was just seeing this girl, and she, like, constantly is complaining about one of the sites we sell clips on that she's, like, never making money on this clip site, and she's trying so hard. But then she's on another site, which is, like, kind of a girlfriend experience site called My Girlfriend, and she relishes there. Like, she has, it's so good for her. And it's, like, everybody finds.
And sometimes you can, like, you can try. I mean, like, I would prefer to do group show. I mean, like, Kyra does that. That would be my preference because it's more of like a hangout party. I mean, people are paying you to, you know, take shots. Yeah. They're paying you
tickets.
But it doesn't work for me for some reason. And, you know, you can't really fight that necessarily. So
you basically just have to find where you fit, where people enjoy you the most and kind of go from there and kind of make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it sometimes has to do with like I can't really cam at night, and so I cam during the day, and I find, like, it seems like the girls that work nights do a little bit better because people are, you know, in the U.S. are around.
Or late at night, a lot of people in the U.K., which is, like, the second most popular, probably, demographic for people, they're just waking up. It's, like, right before they go to work. I just wanted to add that.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're camming during the day, people aren't doing shots and stuff like that for the most part. I mean, there are people doing shots, obviously, at 2 in the afternoon, but compared to 9 o'clock at night, there's a lot more people partying than 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and the kind of camming that Kyra does, you have to be really, really consistent. And I am a single mom. I am going to school, you know, so it's really hard for me to be super, super consistent. Like, I can't be online at the same time every day to really build up that clientele, which it's harder for me that way.
Well, and I was going to say is, like, every time, like, I'll be consistent and I'll go into a groove and I'll, like, be camming, like, 4 days a week, same time, same days, and then, like, something happens, and I just decide to skip 1 week, and then I ended up skipping 2 weeks. When you come back, you are starting over. Like, the people that will see you, they're still coming, and just because you're not there doesn't mean they're going to leave. They're going to find another girl to hang out with because you're not there, and then they might want to hang out with her for a while, and maybe they'll come visit you, but they're definitely not going to be there for you like they were.
So it's almost a definitely, like, what have you done for me lately sort of, you know what I mean? Like, they forget about you and just move on to somebody else. Not in such brash terms, but, like, they're going to be there giving money and doing stuff regardless if you're there or not.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, if they can't see you, they forget you.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are you both on my free cams, MFC?
We are both on there. I'm not really active on there. Like, when we go to conventions and stuff, you can cam from my free cams, and so we do that. But I'm mostly on StreamMate.
Okay. What's the difference between, say, my free cams and the other cam sites? I heard on your podcast that you refer to Chatterbait, which is another service, stream service, as a remedial service, more of like for beginners. But what makes it any different?
Well, Chatterbait allows couples, for one.
Transgender boys.
They're more open, I think, than my free cams to the type of models that they accept. And it seems like the traffic is higher on Chatterbait in my experience. Like, I would have sometimes 1,000 people in there, but only like maybe 5 of them are tipping. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're getting a lot more freeloaders than my.
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like the pay for play there is cheaper too. Like on my free cams, it's like $200 for me to go topless. But if I plan on going topless on Chatterbait, I'm going to have to make it like $75. $50 because they're not going to stick around for that. And they're like more inclined to like give you a yellow wall, which is like where they just tip you so much that the wall, like your chat room completely goes tips. they're more inclined to do like one token, one token, one token.
Yeah.
But on like MFG, okay, a lot of the time I'll get like people that are like 50 token, 50 token, 50 token, 50 yeah. token. So,
no.
so okay. it's like comparing like a JCPenney's to like a high end clothing store. Like in that kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't like to say that because there are some girls on Chatterbait that do extremely well. Yo, some of the highest tips ever are on Chatterbait.
Really?
Yeah. And then they'll go over to My Free Cams and try it and won't do well at all.
Yeah.
You know? So again, it's just finding what works for you and what you enjoy.
I was going to say, I think the reason we call it remedial though as well is because there's something called a cam score. Where okay. you get scored by how long you're on and how much money you make while you're on. And on My Free Cams, that determines your placement. So if you're not doing very well, you're on for 8 hours and you only make $20, that's going to plummet your cam score. And then on Chatterbait, they don't have that. It's on room count to show you where you like land in the area. So I think that's why it's remedial. Like you have to be prepared to make that money so your cam score can be up so you can. Wouldn't you say, Shay?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the cam score on My Free Cams is daunting for a lot of girls. You know, it's a balance to try to be online and work your time. And at the same time, you know, if you're not making tips, you know, to get offline so that cam score doesn't like it messes with it. And then your placement goes way, way down. And then you're at the bottom of 10,000 girls online, you know?
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm sure placement, like, especially on the My Free Cams, if you're at the very top of the page or you're 90 rows down, makes a huge difference of random people that pick your room.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's why I mean, on StreamMate, like, I'm on, like, the third row, you know, so I think that's why I do better on there than My Free Cams. And so you can't fight it and you just have to go with what's working for you, you know?
Interesting, interesting. How long have each of you guys been doing cam modeling?
November for, 2 years. I think we both started will be 2 years. We both kind of took a break. I came back and have been full time. June was a year for me. So
full time.
That means yep.
no other employment.
No other employment. Yeah.
Wow, awesome. They're making
good for
money.
You guys.
They're banking guys.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you guys. I mean,
guess it depends on how hard you work.
Right, right. Yeah. That makes sense. That's sense. Now, do either of you guys remember the exact moment you ever first considered being a cam model and like where that thought came from? We'll start with Shay.
You know, I try to think back and I think it was a series of events. I had a boyfriend at the time that liked to challenge me a little bit. It was more of a dominant submissive relationship, even though I wasn't aware of it at the time.
gotcha.
And he kind of was joking about it with me. And at the same time, I was looking for a house to buy. And my real estate agent, I've been friends with since we were in third grade. And he was joking about my home office. And I think like all of it kind of came together. Mind you, at the time, I had never masturbated before in my life. So I didn't even know. I didn't even know like really what a cam girl was. And so I started doing some research. And when I do stuff like that, I become like almost obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, man, this is really awesome. These girls are really talented. So I think it was kind of a bunch of outside sources with my curiosity all at the same time, just like kind of clashed and I felt challenged. And so I hit broadcast drunk, of course.
When you say never in life,
like over like, 30 years, you never had masturbated ever.
Right. Yeah. I was 32 years old. And
wow.
That
how could you avoid it for that long? I don't understand.
She had sex a lot.
Okay.
It was unnecessary to masturbate.
Right. Well, I guess if you have sex that much, you don't need to masturbate, right?
She always had a boyfriend.
No, I was in a really, really bad marriage for a long time. And
gotcha.
So sex for me became this like really like, it was used to get me like, if he was being cranky, I was like, fuck, I better give it up so that he'll like
gotcha.
Be okay for another month. So sexual, like sex in general for me was just this like really awful thing. So it never, I don't know what happened in my teen years.
It makes sense though. I mean, that absolutely makes sense. I get
yeah.
it. What
yeah.
about you, Kyra? Do you remember the moment you thought about it or why it came about?
And I don't know if you guys have listened to this episode. For me, like, I remember growing up, like, I would watch cartoons, and I always wanted to be, like, the cartoon that had the huge boobs and like was overtly sexual, and that she always interested me way more. And I remember when I was like in high school, I was like, man, I would love to be in Playboy. I would love to be like in a nude magazine. And then I got older and I got married, and my marriage also sucked. And I wasn't making good money, so I was like, how do you feel about me stripping? And so I was like, well, I can't strip as a full-figured girl. So I started losing weight, and then I ended up leaving him, and I still wasn't making money. And so I was like, I'm going to try this out. I looked up ways to make money from home. This was the easiest, and I was like, I have no problems being naked. So I tried it, and it was just, here I am.
That's like the most like straightforward story, like legit, like that's just like, you know what, I wanted to work from home and make money, and this worked for me. I like being naked.
Do you ever have any cognitive dissonance, any feelings like that this isn't what you want to do? On your podcast, you always describe yourself as being proud of what you do, but I'm sure at some point in your life you're like, you know, this probably isn't what I want to do, or maybe I should try to find some different way.
My whole life, I've been the type of person that I like start something and I quit. Like my whole life, I've never been able to like zero in on what I feel like I'd want to do. My whole life, I wanted to act. I wanted to model. I wanted to sing. I wanted to entertain people. And so me finding this is kind of like, I don't know if I could be successful if I went to Hollywood. I don't know if I could be successful if I went to New York on Broadway, but I started doing this. And I'm decently successful. This is working for me. And, like, I think about the longevity of it, and I'm like, how long are we going to be able to do this? Yeah. But since it's 2017 and social media, the internet, cam girl, like, pornography, it's still new.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Like, 20 years from now, who knows what it's going to become. But it'll seem a lot more normal that I've been doing it. I'll just be a veteran cam model.
Well, and, I mean, I'm... We've never spoke about this on our podcast, so this is going to be, like, new information for everybody.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know, Kyra's like, oh, shit, what is she going to say?
Do I already know her?
You know what I'm – well, you don't know what I'm going to say, but you get where we work camming maybe a couple hours a day, and we make really good money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked amongst ourselves. I mean, we're kind of spoiled at this point.
Oh my God.
I think what I can go, I could go get a job doing something else. Like, it's not that I can't, but the money I would make and the time I would put into that compared to what we do now, you know, sometimes we'll make $100 in 10 minutes. You know?
Literally, absolutely. The other day, she's like, I have a Skype show, and it's for 10 minutes, and you gave me $100, but I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do I want to do it? I want to reschedule. And, like, for me, someone's like, I'll give you $200 for this hour-long custom video, and I'm like, let's try $450. Like, we're always, like, pushing it. You know what I mean? So it's...
Yeah. So to like go back out into the real world, I mean, there's times that I think about it. I'm like, it would be much easier. I could talk to people about what I do for my job. I could, you know, not have people be so skeptical about what the heck is she doing in her house all day. The stigma sucks, you know, and I feel like, I mean, cause I game, like I game on Twitch too. And sometimes I wish I could just be real with those people and be like, this is my name and this is where I live. Like everybody else is
with each other. Right.
And I feel like I have to like then have this persona and hide myself just in case. I mean, there's been a few of them that have found my porn. So like if I told them my name, then they would know, you know? So there's some times where I think it would be much, much easier. But at the same time, I'm going back to school. I have time to totally focus on my degree. I have kids. I have time to focus on them. And we, you know, so yes, sometimes it seems easier, but I, to make that transition from camming to real world, like work, it would be a struggle. It would be a real struggle.
Oh, absolutely. And you made another point about how all this is just coming to be real huge right now. Same thing with podcasting though. So your podcast could take off too, and you will have been doing 20 years of podcasting, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're already in the game. That's kind of how I feel about, like, we're getting into it early. It's kind of small, but in 10 years when it's giant, we'll have been doing it for 10 years at that point. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, you're ahead of the game. Now, with the same question he kind of asked you, do you guys have an exit strategy? Like, are you doing this until a certain age or to a certain financial goal or, you know, any sort of, or until your kids are so old, or, you know,
a million dollars.
A million dollars, yeah. I mean, I'm about
try 20. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We're spoiled, remember? I'm about a year away from getting my bachelor's in accounting. So I will be making, I'll be making a transition over to be a CPA.
Okay.
But there, I probably will stay in the sex work industry. I have several cam models that, have came to me and asked me if I will be their CPA once I'm done. There's a need for it.
Awesome.
A certified public accountant. So doing taxes and things like that for them and having a cam girl that kind of understands how it works and being able to, I mean, cause we can write off dildos. We can write off underwear, you know,
makeup,
makeup,
hair done, getting your nails done, your room, your internet.
Well, how many sex work accountants are there? You know what I mean? Like, right, exactly.
Of any.
There's this thing called the Cupcake Girls organization and they, help out cam models in need and stuff like that. And I'm sure if somebody came to them, they could find somebody. But in a couple of years, it'll be Shay that they find.
Right. And imagine, I mean, if you're the only one, I mean, I'm sure those people will get the word of it. Eventually, they'll try to copy or whatever. But you'll be the only one. So you could have hundreds or thousands of girls coming to you saying, hey, will you help me figure out how to save money on my taxes, blah, blah, blah. That's great. That's a whole different genre, you know?
And I think there's a lack of trust amongst people in the sex work industry just because we have to be so careful. You know, girls are backstabbed and they're outed by fellow girls and things like that. So to have a cam girl that, you know, I mean, because you're giving these people a lot of information. You're giving them your real name. You're giving them your address, you know, everything. So to have somebody that you know and is a fellow sex worker that isn't going to have a stigma with it is super cool. So
I think that's a great idea. Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome.
See, all she's like ultra prepared. Okay. So I'm
have
like,
you decided to go to school yet?
If
he
I went
talks
to
about
school,
it a lot.
I know.
I know. I'm aware. If I went to school, it would be 16 years worth of school. I'd want to be a sex therapist. I love that kind of stuff. And then if I didn't, I'd go for 2 years and be a sonographer. You know what I mean? Like, and do ultrasounds, which still involve the vagina. So
right.
It's like, either way. But I love the sex work industry. And I'm really proud to be a sex worker, and I'm as proud as I can be without putting my family in jeopardy.
Right, right.
But when I think about it, I'm like, their options are so unlimited. Like, I could start writing books. I could try to force this podcast to become something a little bit more tangible money-wise. I could become a producer. I could become an affiliate marketer. There's, like, so many different things that I could try to do. Mm-hmm. I haven't decided. I have no clue what I'm going to do. I'd love for this podcast to end up being something real, like something that is a staple in the sex work community that people go to because they know we're there for them. But I also love doing what I do. I like making clips. I like doing all that stuff. And I think 10 years from now, I'll just start doing more mom fetish stuff. So it's like...
That makes sense. So you don't have an exit strategy per se. You're going to just kind of let it naturally evolve into whatever.
Look, I've seen 60-year-old women making bank on these campsites, man.
Yeah.
They're out there. I mean, I don't watch them. I'm not into that kind of stuff.
Oh, we don't judge you.
But I want to touch – you guys mentioned on – I think you said Chatterbait. There's a male – there's transgender and male. Is there – like, I mean, I don't really even think of male cam models per se. Is that a big industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they attract –
I think it's getting bigger.
They attract a lot of gay males mostly,
that makes
females.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because I wouldn't think that females would go watch a guy on cam. They could, I mean, they could go to some random chat site and find some dude willing to whip his dick out. You know what I mean? Without
Yeah.
Charge it, Jonas, if you want to get into the business.
Yeah.
There we
go.
Well,
if I can be honest, too, females, I feel like when we want to masturbate, we know what we want to see. And usually, like for me, I want to see like girl oiling, Nuru. Like, big tit play, something like that. Like, I don't want to, like, search, like, big dong swinging. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, for women that, like, it's the difference between men searching big tits and girls searching big cock.
Right.
Like, we might watch it sometimes.
Well, but, we get paid to watch guys masturbate,
right.
So
right.
It's not necessarily right. The thing that we run to, like, be like, can you do that for me for free?
Yeah. And then you'd be like, hell yeah, I will. Hell yeah, I'll watch.
But it's hard because it does, it desensitizes you. I mean, real talk, you know, like, absolutely. Like, definitely porn to me is not what it ever once was and doesn't do half for me what it once does, you know, or did, so.
Well, right, give our right. listeners some insight onto what the hell a dick rating is and yeah. how this works.
Oh, I am not the person to ask this ever. I am not the person to ask. Nobody wants me to see their cock ever, and I'm so upset about it. Shay, what's a dick rating?
How does this work, Shay? You gotta tell me.
And well, she's serious about him too.
I know.
So let's see about this.
She's like, got like a 10-point Shay scale.
She writes dissertations on each one.
Trust me, you don't want to be on the curve.
You got a dick rating, didn't you?
Listen to your
how
podcast.
I do it. I do them for 5 minutes, so they're topless, and I rate their dick, so.
Records yourself topless.
Records myself topless video. I do 3 different kinds of dick ratings. One, I will just tell you, like, I'll give it a rating 1 to 5. The second one, I will give you a rating 1 to 5 and tell you why I gave those ratings, and then the third one, and they're more expensive, is a video of me topless giving you a rating, and I usually tell them, like, what I think about the head, the balls, the overall appearance.
And what's the going rate for these?
I want to say it's like, I think it's $16.99 for the highest, something like that.
Someone pays you $17 to look at their penis and tell them what you think about it.
Yes. Yes, and they thoroughly enjoy them and often come back and buy more stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of goofy, and I get commented a lot on, like, the personality that I bring into the dick rating. And so I've had some guys buy dick ratings like 3 or 4 times. Like, I don't know what you want me to say differently the 3rd or 4th time I rate it, but.
Well, it doesn't really change, like, over the years that much.
Angle.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think they just like the personality that you put into it. Maybe you have no personality.
What does the guy get out of it?
But you'll have to ask them. I don't know.
I feel like some guys, they have, like, because
I think some guys just want you to tell them that you like it. And then I think there's the opposite of it. I mean, I've had guys buy dick ratings and then they'll
they want you to make fun of them.
They'll email me and say, I want this to be like small penis humiliation dick rating. And I'm like,
no. Cost extra.
No, you bought an honest dick rating, so I'm going to be honest with you. If you want me to humiliate you in a video, you need to pay me $50. So,
right. Exactly. Wow, that's crazy.
I have to pay you to talk bad about my dick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Dude, I'm all about it.
Domination, that's huge. Humiliation is huge.
That's so crazy. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Unlike their dicks.
Boom. Come, girl.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so crazy. So, obviously, getting into this kind of work, I mean, there's obviously, when you go into it, you assume certain people in your life are going to be accepting and certain people may not be so accepting.
Yep.
It's going to be a 2-part question. Was there anyone who you thought would be accepting that actually wasn't, and vice versa?
I've only told probably a handful of people. Not many people I've given the opportunity to really be judgmental about it.
Gotcha.
There's a few people that in my gaming community do know, and they were really hesitant at first. They were like, what's this mean? You know? And I'm like, gosh, like, you think badly of me, you know, was my first reaction. Right. And the more that they get to know me, they see I'm an awesome mom. I'm a great person. I'm a good friend, you know, and they've become like, we don't even talk about it. You know, it's just kind of, it is what it is. But I will say that a majority of the people, they kind of talk bad about the girls that go on like Twitch and stuff and use their boobs and stuff to gain followers. So I think
absolutely.
So I think that they kind of put me in the same category as them and then learned that that is not the case. And so it's just like, whatever, she's going to do whatever she's going to do, and that's fine. But I haven't really given the opportunity to many people to like not, I mean, nobody in my family knows at all.
And as big as the internet is, you would think at some point it would, you know what I mean? Like somebody would stumble upon it, someone would tell, you know, or something, you know, so that's awesome.
I mean, that's a fear of our, I got put on, well, actually, the boyfriend I talk about found me on Pornhub, messaged me and said, I found your video on there. And so I quickly messaged them. It was one of my shows that had been recorded and uploaded. And so, yeah, it freaked you out a little bit because, I mean, he found it very quickly and like wasn't, I mean, it didn't have my name or anything on it. So you never know. It is a fear that we live every day, you know, right. Especially, you know, being moms and having exes and, you know, like it gets scary. It's scary. We live in fear of it every day, you know? Right. And it's unfortunate. And that's kind of why we do the podcast, hoping that those stigmas will open up and people will be more accepting and realize that what we're doing is legal and it's totally safe. And we've helped a lot of guys, you know, just through processes and being friends and.
Yeah. And it blows my mind too, because me and TNT are very progressive people. Like, I don't give a shit what you, as long as you're a good person, I don't give a fuck what you do for a living, how you, whatever. But it's so crazy that some people are so judgmental and so, like, just crazy about like, oh, you do that, you must be a terrible person. Like, they can't even give you a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Saying that is like, we live in America, and unfortunately, right. America is kind of a piece of shit right now. And so not only are people, like, prejudiced about women, prejudiced about people of color, prejudiced about being gay, prejudiced about being transgender, prejudiced because you prefer ketchup over mustard. Like, it doesn't matter. People in this world, and especially in America, they want to have their opinion, they want to be right, and they don't want to be nice about it. And, like, right. For the way I feel about it, and Shay and I, like, we don't agree on everything. And I'm okay with that, because we're both good people, and it's okay to have differences. It's okay to not be the same as everybody else, because to me, that world seems so bland. Like, Absolutely. Even if it was all sex workers, I'd be like, well, fuck, we need a non-sex worker in here.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean? So, it's just, it sucks. I don't get it either, and I've been this way my whole life. I've been so... I was raised to be really open and
Me
sincere.
Too. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the more boobs out there in the world, the better.
That's right? How so everybody should feel.
I think that you're doing the world a service, honestly.
Absolutely. And what about you, Kyra? Did you have anyone that surprised you? Like, I thought you mentioned. Did you mention in the podcast your family found out?
No, I told my family.
Oh, you told your family. Okay.
Yeah, I was raised by my aunt and uncle, and I told them, I told my aunt first, I'm closer to her, and I was like, listen, I'm a cam model. And she asked what that was, and I explained it to her, and she wasn't really about it. And then I told my cousin, and she wasn't really about it, but they weren't going to tell me what to do. I'm an adult.
Right.
But unfortunately, I do feel like money runs the world. And when they found out that I was making as much money as I was, that I was able to support my family while staying home, while being on the PTA, while doing all this stuff, it kind of changes the way people feel. And so they're like, oh, money? Well, then why didn't you say so? That's a horse of a different color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I haven't
so once they found out how much money you could make doing it, they're like, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know a lot of people. And I mean, everybody I know, like, if I can be honest, and this is going to sound fucking awful, I think I'm so pretty. I think I'm really pretty. And I know I'm a bigger girl, and I'm okay with that because I like me.
Too.
And I think I ooze confidence. And so, like, I think that's okay. And I think when people meet me, like, I get told, like, when I'm walking in the mall and someone's like, oh, my gosh, you are so pretty. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know. Like, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. See, because I'm the total opposite. I'm like, whatever, stop. Like, I'm just
I dress really fancy all the time. I dress like I'm going to a fancy dinner. Like, I'm always wearing skirts and dresses. But so I'm proud of being like, hey, I look nice. I don't look like this and this and this, but I drink a lot. And I get naked online. You know what I mean?
See, yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you're just, I mean, you're like, this is me, like me or don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And that's, sorry if I sound like an asshole saying.
Oh, not at all.
We support that.
We think we have a really big dick. That's
yeah, we do.
They say that all the time.
Yeah, we do.
As an African American model, Kyra, how do you differentiate?
I'm not African American.
Wait, you're not?
No.
You don't have any black in you?
I'm a little bit Panamanian.
Well,
why do you think I'm African American?
If you don't have any black in you, I was going to ask if you would like some.
Look at
I've been holding on to that joke for 4 weeks.
Listen, and in my head too, I'm like, I'm literally like the most alabaster person in the world.
Guys, I did not know that was coming, and I thought the same exact thing. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I was set up.
You know what? I got a lot of shit because on a prior podcast that we did, I admitted to liking the BBWs and some of the pornography that I watched. And damn it, I don't care. You're beautiful, Shay. Shay, you're beautiful too. I've looked up both of your works. I want to do a quick plug here of some of your videos that I found especially.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, Jesus.
Is it okay for me to read?
I'm so fucking serious about my videos too, so I think it's really interesting too.
All right, Kyra has won the Wake Up and Fuck Me POV. Highly suggestible. Full Nude Masturbation, another classic.
It is a classic. He's not joking. That one.
I am blushing. My face. Oh my gosh.
Shay Taylor, your, let me find the name. It's the twerk impregnation.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh, training camp impregnation and blackmail. You deserve a round of applause.
Listen, both those videos are top sellers of mine that he mentioned. My POVs are super popular. That's why I do so many. My POVs are so popular.
Yeah. I do a lot of twerking. I probably. Really? Yeah, probably 60% of my videos are twerking requests.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Are they your top seller?
Your best feature?
No, I do probably my mommy videos are my top sellers. I do a lot of mommy videos and a lot of either mommy or booty. It's one or the other. Yeah.
And I'm boobies or eating. Really? Like people pay me to eat. Yeah.
Yeah, nope. Someone showed me, the people that have videos where people just sit there and eat, like, pizza and hot dogs and whatever.
Wait a second.
Did you just say you don't like pizza?
I do not like pizza.
At all? Ever?
I like some pizzas. I don't like red sauce. Like, I don't like tomatoes.
Okay.
And so, like, I like a barbecue Hawaiian pizza. That's all right. Papa John's had this cheeseburger pizza, and it had, like, this mayonnaise sauce on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's delicious.
While we're on this topic, on a previous episode of our podcast, we had me and TNT and our other co-host Trachmar had a conversation. If you could only eat one two-topping pizza for the rest of your life, that's the only pizza you could order forever. What pizza would it be?
Ham and pineapple.
And me too. I'm probably going to get hazed for liking pineapple on my pizza because I do all the time.
Pineapple on pizza.
But if you're like not allowing me to do ham and pineapple, I would say double mushrooms.
Are you kidding? That is 100% TNT's fucking answer was double mushroom. 100% honesty.
I love mushrooms. Yeah. High five, TNT. Now he's like extra in love with me. He's like, not only is she BBW, but she likes pizza.
If she liked pizza, she'd like my pizza.
Right.
I don't have to eat pizza.
Mine was double bacon, and I got made fun of for that, too. Bacon on pizza.
But I don't like, I think it makes the pizza too greasy. I do not like bacon on a pizza.
I can respect that. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, that's a totally random question, but it was something that I wanted to ask you guys anyway. So it came up, so it figured out it was perfect.
I'm really surprised you guys could do this for this long, and you don't think men are like the scum of the earth, though. Because I'm sure you run into some really disrespectful assholes.
I'm so rare on that disrespectful scale. I rarely get trolled. I don't have guys that disrespect me. And if I do, it's like far and few between. I don't have people sending me random dick pics. It's really weird. like, my life is so weird compared to other girls. I don't know why. I think it's because I just, looking at me, I feel like I maybe look like I don't put up with shit. Like, I'm going to be like, well, go fuck yourself. How about that?
Well, yeah, that you would think that, like, I, to be completely honest, I would think that cam models would get a ton of unsolicited dick pics. Like,
oh, just they because, do. There are Twitter accounts that are just, their profile picture is a penis picture. Like, you're going to get automatically blocked. And if you're not getting automatically blocked, that means that model is hurting. That model thinks she's going to try to convert you into a payer. She's, like, token hungry, money hungry, not doing very well. So if she's entertaining you, know that either her shit's not that great or her game's not that great. Because she's, wouldn't you say, like, if you see somebody with a profile and their picture is their dick, what do you do, Shay?
Block them. Automatically.
Boom. Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I have to say, I'd probably do the same thing.
Right. So you have to, like, almost preemptive strike it before it even becomes a problem because you know that their intentions are bad.
Yeah.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
And we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast with the host of the Sex Work BB Podcast, Kyra Kane and Shay Taylor. Welcome back, guys.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. So I want to ask you guys, you know, being a sex worker, a cam model, obviously you guys do this from a studio or your home or wherever. But, you know, there is the danger of, you know, stalkers and, you know, that kind of stuff because of what you do. People get crazy about people who get naked. It's just, I mean, it's just what happens. So, I mean, have you had any situations that made you feel really unsafe or have you had a real stalker or anything like that that's been a real negative experience with this?
I think, and she might be the same thing. My biggest issue is, like, and I'm super upfront with people, very upfront. Like, I had somebody message me the other day, and they're like, I'd really like to get to know you. And I was like, well, cards on the table, we'll never meet. I'm cool with getting to know you. I have friends that I've known for years, and the only way we'd meet is if you stopped by at a sex convention and wanted to take a picture, do, like, a small meet and greet, and then you go on your way, and I go on my way. And he's like, that's really closed-minded of you. And I'm like, this is my job, friend. Like, this is what I do. And that's probably – and the biggest issue is, like, talking to somebody a lot, and then they grow feelings – and get really attached and aren't okay with the fact that it's only going to be virtual. And that's, and so they're like, for me, I have a P.O. box that is not where I live.
Right.
So I, like, drive to a P.O. box. I'm so, I think Shay, I don't know.
Well, you notice on the podcast, you don't even say what state you're in. You just say Midwest. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. So, I mean, that's even more vague than, you know, than a whole state.
Because what's the Midwest, right?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different states in the Midwest.
And people like to guess because people say I have, like, an accent. A lot of people guess that I'm from, like, Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I won't say.
Yeah, that's fine. I totally get it. It only makes you safer.
Yeah.
Like, we,
I'm sure one day it's going to be. Well,
and, like, Kyra and I are, like, I mean, we're best friends. You know, we talk every day, and we just learned each other's real names, like, not that long ago.
And it was kind of an accident that we.
Yeah.
That you accidentally stumbled upon each other. Right. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
I haven't had a stalker. I had a guy when I very, very first started camming that was really, really pushy and, like, would not take no for an answer and was really kind of creepy. I was like, he could be dangerous. And I ended up, like, stopping camming and changing my cam name. And so I lost him, luckily. I think I more deal with I do a lot of, like, girlfriend experience. And so I end up with a lot of guys who get really, really attached.
I was going to say that sounds like that would be dangerous because it almost promotes those sort of feelings to those guys, even though
that's
it's fake.
That's what they want you to do. They want you to promote those feelings.
Well, right. Yeah, I get that part. Yeah, so I would think they would fall easier for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they do. You know, like, I mean, there's been a guy that's he was the one that supported our podcast. He was like, I finally had this realization that, like, we won't ever be together. And I was like, I don't even know what you look like, dude. You know, like, what are you talking about? And so, like, it's mostly that where they're just like, and they're not, they don't get it, you know? And when you tell them, like, genuinely, like, we're friends, like, I care about you, you know, like, I want well for you, but I don't want to marry you, mm-hmm. you know, and being that I'm single, I think that it probably promotes that even more because, you know, sometimes I'm like, if I was married, they would get it, you mm-hmm. know, or at least hopefully get it. But being that I'm single, it's like, but then on the other side, if you tell people that you're married or you have somebody,
popular.
You're right. not going to get those clients because they're looking for a girl who I potentially.
But you'll get other clients that like the cuck stuff and they like thinking that like they're the other guy that's in right. your yeah. relationship and your marriage.
Word.
Yeah.
Cucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Word, cucks.
Well, yeah. And
date at all?
Do we date?
I date.
It's difficult. It's difficult. I live in a small town. And at what point do you tell your date you're a cam model?
Right, right.
I tell them up front.
Well, okay, I figure that's the best way to do it, probably.
Okay, but then if you don't work out, then what? Dude knows you're a cam model, and he's going to tell who? You know, like,
hopefully
you live in a small town.
A client.
Right. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I'll just have to pay now.
Like, he's like, I never got it in. I never got it in, but I'm going to get it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. right.
Do you tell him your real name when you date him?
Yeah, I don't know any of these people from online, and I don't date a ton of people. I have, like, one or two people that I date, like, exclusively, and I let them know that my job is kind of my boyfriend, too. Like, right. I work a lot. These guys are kind of, like, a part of my life.
Right.
What I do, and now the podcast is a whole other branch of my boyfriendness, and that takes a lot of time. Yeah. So.
Does this industry working like this and dealing with, like, people, you know, because you deal with a lot of people who have true feelings for you, even though you don't reciprocate, does it make having an intimate relationship with someone hard outside of camming?
Sometimes. I mean, I've had it where, like I said, you kind of become desensitized to it a bit. You know, it's kind of a whole nother experience having somebody actually here for you. But I deal with a lot of, like, insecurities that, like, they're worried about my job.
Right. That makes sense.
Like, where I put that onto them, and it's just my own fears that, like, they hate what I do, even though they're like, no, I'm fine with it, you know? But you're like, how do you not have an issue with it? Like, I get naked for, like, thousands of men, you know? Like, that's your girl. But
I, like, am so, I have an issue with jealousy. Like, I'm not a jealous person.
Yeah, me neither at all.
Like,
at all.
And I'm decently flirtatious in general. Like, I could be at McDonald's ordering my burger and I'm still going to be extremely friendly and I'll joke around with them and like that's just who I am. And so I think it'd be really hypocritical of me, like, if I was dating somebody and like they're flirtatious and I'm like, well, fuck this shit, like, it just, so for me, if somebody is jealous of, like, me doing my job, it's just not gonna work.
But, you know, you would think for a guy to be comfortable with dating someone who's in the sex work industry, they would have to either you would think they either have, like, an ill intention of some sort, or, like, they're just, they have to be pretty open and decent, you know, like, progressive-minded people, because they know you're doing this, you know what I mean? They have to be okay with, well, we're going to hang out this afternoon, then after that, she's going to go home and get online, there's going to be 1,000 guys throwing money at her to do whatever.
Fuck that, he didn't even leave while she camped. He took a nap while she camped. He's watching TV in the living room while she camped.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so, I mean, it's just a whole different, I mean, but I mean, like, that experience doesn't fit a lot of guys. You know, a lot of guys would not be able to do that, or would not be able to have jealousy or be mad about it or whatever. But like you said, that's your income, man. Like, who are you going to choose? Your job, which you make tons of money, or some dude? You know what I mean? Like, obviously.
Right. Right. And I feel like I've become a whole lot more open-minded. And so, like, somebody who's not going to be open-minded about it is not really somebody that I want to be with anyways, so.
It makes sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. So has this job helped you grow as a person at all? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, it's challenged my thinking a lot. I was very religious. I worked for a church, very close-minded. And so, it's challenged me, and this podcast has. I mean, my friendship with Kyra, like she said, we don't agree on everything, and mm-hmm. we challenge each other, like, well, what the heck? Why are, like, that's the, this is how I feel about it. And it's like, oh, like, you're right, you know? And so it has. It's helped me with, I'm super shy, super shy. I don't like people. I don't like talking to people. And so it's
helped. The crux of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All
right.
Yeah. And so it's helped me in person to do it because it's fine. Like, I feel like I have like the computer to hide behind.
That makes sense.
Most cam girls are very anxious, antisocial people, believe it or not.
Well, that makes sense because you have almost, it's like the video camera or the cam is almost like a wall. You know what I mean? Like, it's your own wall to, like, they're out there. They're not here. But
they're,
then if you go out in public,
the
you're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. like, there's so many people. What's going on? I'm anxious. Yeah, whatever.
I guess I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What about you, Kara?
I feel like I've grown a lot, and it's more, when I got out of my marriage, it was decently abusive, physically and mentally. And so, like, I came out of it and I had PTSD pretty bad. So, like, relationships were really hard for me. Just having friends was really hard for me because I wasn't allowed to have friends when I was married. I wasn't allowed to have things of my own. I wasn't myself anymore. And so, when I got out of it, I started serving and I, like, joked around with people and I got to know people, and people really affirmed that I was a good person, and they affirmed that I was funny, and or I was pretty and all this stuff. And it kind of, then I started to cam, and like, it was even more affirmation, like, people like me for my personality, mm-hmm. more so than my look sometimes. And that, like, it made me confident with who I am, and it helped my anxiety that I'm my own person now. Like, I feel like myself for the first time in 7 years, and I feel mm-hmm. like nobody can control that, and nobody can make me be somebody I'm not. And then, like, I meet Shay, and honestly, like, doing this podcast and getting to know Shay, like, it helps having somebody there that completely understands what you're going through
mm-hmm.
on good days and on bad days. And not even just through, like, camming, like, in real life stuff. Like, I can shoot the shit with her about my kids, you know what I mean? Because I trust her. And that's some, because this, we say it on the podcast, that this job can be very lonely.
I was going to say lonely. Yeah, that was the word I was going
to
use.
And it's like, as much as you have a bunch of people watching you, talking to you, I can see how it would be lonely. Because on the other end of the camera, you're by yourself. You know what I mean? And like you said, it's competitive. Girls are catty. They're ruthless. They're backstabbing. You know what I mean? Like, they all want to get up, be the next top model, you know, that, you know, so to speak. You know, so I could see that happening. Absolutely.
Well, and it's unfortunate because, like, and we say this on the podcast, too. If we work together, like, because I know, like, a handful of top models that they're like, be a top model. Come after me. Like, come get me. And they're not being mean about it. They're like, they want you to be successful. They want you to mm-hmm. bust your ass so hard that you try to catch them. And then there are other models that are kind of like bitches, and they're really rude. And, like, I think one reason that we're doing this podcast is because we don't want, like, those girls suck. You don't mm-hmm. need to be friends with those girls. And, like, even though you're lonely, there's 100 other girls that aren't like that. And that when you say, I want to film 3 videos tomorrow, that they're going to message you and be like, what's going on with those videos?
Mm-hmm.
How many videos did you do? Like, they're pushing you to kind of be the best version.
I think when you start in this industry, you almost are like, you're looking for a mentor. Right. You're looking for, because there's no, like, how-to guide on mm-hmm. how to be a cam girl. There, I mean, you can, like, there's a few, there's,
some YouTube videos, some blogs.
Miss Lollipop, she does a great, blog, gosh, what is her, why am I, Cam Model Express. I know she has a bunch of stuff
like
out.
Like a profile builder and a little tips.
Cam Girl Cuties is out there, but it's for the most part, like,
forum.
Yeah. You can't, like, you just don't know where to start. And so I remember looking at some of the top models and being in awe of them, and then meeting them at the convention and finding out that they were, like, the most shallow, bitchiest, awful people in the entire earth. And you hear that from a lot of girls where they, like, mm-hmm. have this, like, aha moment of, like, this girl that they, like, idolized in the industry. And then she ends up being this terrible person that really wants them to, like, quit. You become really deflated. Mm-hmm. And so for us to, like, kind of give – to be those mentors to girls and be true and be honest and be real, that we're, like, really here to help. Like, if you need something, shout out – like, call her at Sex Work BB. We're going to do our best to try to help you. You know, we may not have all the answers, but
We'll find somebody who does have the answers.
Yeah, and be that mentor for people because it's so lonely when you first start. You just don't even know.
Going off what you said there, you know, you said that, you know, these cam models look up to these high level girls and then they meet them or get to know them a little better and realize they're awful people. That kind of goes across all industries though, because, you know, even like, kids who look up to baseball players or whatever, and they, I want to do this, and then they meet them and they're an asshole. They're like, oh my, it like shatters your world because you hold them at such a high level, and then you're like, oh my god, they're awful people. Like, this sucks. Is everyone in this industry an awful person? You know what I mean? So I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
I remember when I saw the top model that I like was like, she is amazing. Like, she's a businesswoman. She's doing the smart. She's putting money away. She's investing in buying houses and all this stuff. Like, this is who I want to be like. And then on Twitter, she was like bullying people. And I was like, I don't want to be like her at all.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, I felt totally deflated that like this person that I thought was wonderful was not at all. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. You spoke on there's no real how to guide to become a cam model. I feel the same is very true in podcasting. There's a lot of like how to start a podcast, how to get your stuff up, get it on Twitter, iTunes, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I love about podcasting the most is it is a open canvas. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You want to have a sex work podcast? You want to have a podcast about like ours where we talk about weird shit all the time. It's just finding your niche, you know, but I feel a lot of people just copy each other. You know, there's a million movie podcasts and music podcasts and whatever. So it's finding your place in the industry to make it successful. You know, I think you guys have a great spot because how many sex work by sex workers podcasts, you know what I mean? It's great. You know?
Yeah. We are it. That we know of, that we're aware of. So.
So, I mean, that's really awesome. And like us, I mean, we just talk about weird shit. So there ain't, no, most people.
That's why you invited us on. All right. I see.
Weird shit.
You know, but, you know, I wanted to start something that like, the part of the world that, you know, weird, unique jobs, weird, unique lifestyle, you know, anything that's different can get a voice. You know, it's not like, not because you're an actress in Hollywood or whatever, you know? So, I mean, I just wanted to be able to.
This is a topic that especially resonates with me, too.
This boy is all about porn.
I just want to make sure that people know that you are human beings and that, you know, we need to normalize that this is a part of our culture and it needs to be normalized a little bit. So, you know, you people, you lead normal lives. You go to school, you raise your children, you go to PTA meetings. People need to know that shit.
Yeah. Right. You're not like some weird person because you do sex work for a living. You know what I mean? You're a normal person just like us. Instead of going to a 9-to-5, you pick your hour. You're an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of, exactly. I mean, we talk about it a lot on the podcast. Like there's a stigma that like we're all broken, that we're all here because we're forced to be, or we have to be, or, you know, we have daddy issues and that's why we, you know, are like looking up to be accepted by others. And it's totally, I mean, we have our issues. I mean,
I say we both have daddy issues, but that's not why.
Yeah. That's not why I'm a sex worker.
right. I imagine your clients come and go, you know, like you said, if, like, if you take a couple weeks off, they'll just move migrate or whatever. I imagine you have consistency with a few people.
Yes.
You know, somebody, you know. Now, if you're running, like, if you know, say you have a few guys that are constantly working with whatever, and they, something happens, they fall offline, you don't hear from them. I mean, do you actively search new guys, or do you let them come to you, or how do you find new clients? I mean, do you...
You cry first, usually.
Oh, don't cry on cam.
You cry.
No, like, you have somebody that, like, you meet them, and then they come into your life and they drop like $3,000. They buy you a ton of gifts and then they're gone. Like 2 weeks later, they're gone. And like,
I think a lot of girls count on that too. I have somebody who helps me probably 80% of my weekly income, but I am totally prepared that at any point he might disappear. You know, and I have a backup plan. Like, then have to cam more, you know?
Exactly.
But girls put all their eggs in one basket and they're like, oh, I have this dude that gives me $1,000 a week to do this, this, and this, and this. They're like, oh, I'll just keep counting on that as my income. And then he disappears and what do you do? They don't know what to do to recover that $1,000 a week.
Well, right. I went to business school. So, I mean, they teach you. You can't put all your eggs in one basket because if like more than 50% of your revenue is coming from one source, one day that source may not be there anymore. And then what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, so it's, So it's, you know, it's great. I mean, but when you realize that your consistency is going down, I guess, from certain people, do you try to find new people to be consistent with, or do you just let it be natural? They want to keep coming back or whatever.
I'm not sure how we'd find, you can't really find people. Yeah. And if you're finding somebody, that means you're probably scalping them from somebody else. Like, you found their information because they're like dogging on another girl. Like, they're like all about this other girl. And like, mm-hmm. so you message
usually,
him.
If you want to find new people, you just need to work 10 times harder than you were.
Gotcha.
Like, if I needed to get some new regular customers, I would
be more available.
Yeah, I would be on Snapchat more, doing more takeovers. I would be mm-hmm. on
social media.
Yeah, I would, you know, for a while there was like 2 months where I would put out 10 new videos a week.
Yeah, and I was doing like 14 at the time.
Yeah, so just to like try to gain some new video sales and things like that. And then you keep doing that, and eventually you start gaining regulars.
Right.
Through customer service, you know, we message everybody that buys a video from us. I've been really sucky about it because summers suck, but you know, just good customer service to those people, and they keep coming back, and eventually you hope one of them's a whale, and that
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned Snapchat takeovers. For the people out there who don't know what that is, can you give a quick breakdown of what that means so they understand what you're talking about?
Man, I wish this one cam model we knew was here, because she's got a real like down pat way to explain it.
We have like an hour long interview on Snapchat takeovers.
Okay. So basically, do you work but, someone else's Snapchat account or a
yeah.
site Snapchat account and
a promoter's account?
Yep.
For 24 hours.
Okay. And then you just post yourself and talk and pimp your sites and your all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people will play they'll play games, so they'll be like, go to this site and buy a balloon, and then inside the balloon will be like, you win 5 videos, you win their Snapchat for 4 months, this and this and this.
Okay.
So. All
right, so that's like the very bare bones explanation
mm-hmm.
of what it is.
Yeah,
so.
It's like a cam room on Snapchat almost.
Okay.
Like, they'll pay you to like do spank, they'll pay you to take shots, to smoke, they'll pay, you know, I mean, it varies.
Off-topic question, Shay, you said you're a gamer, what is your favorite game to play right now?
I do a lot of role-playing. So I do Grand Theft Auto role playing and Ark role playing are my two big ones right now.
All right. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Kyra, do you play games at all, even offline when you're not camming?
She has one where with Overwatch, where her and another girl control their.
Yeah, that's mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played Overwatch and controlled each other's vibrators. See, there's an app on your phone that you can control a vibrator that somebody else has remotely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so we did that with each other. Yeah,
that's
Overwatch.
Fun.
I've played World of Warcraft for like 12 years, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of
see,
nerd.
I like comic books a lot. I like music a lot. I like to read.
Who do you listen to?
Me? I listen to a little bit of everything. Like, I like a lot of, oh my gosh, it's really
all right,
good.
I
don't like country, and I don't like R&B. Because when I hear country, I'm sad, and when I hear R&B, it reminds me of, like, some 90s movies where they're, like, getting down. And
I
you know
you.
What I mean?
Yeah,
so I'm
like the Boys in the Hood sex scene when
exactly,
they play, like, the
exactly.
Yeah, I got you. So we did this question on our Get to Know the Host episode. Top 3 CDs that you can listen to from front to back without stopping of all time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not a huge music. I listen to music, but I don't ever feel that passionate about any music. It's really weird.
If we hop into your Prius and we turn the key, turn up the radio, what are we going to hear, Shay?
Probably something that my children have put on. It's really sad.
So like the Wiggles, Raffy?
Oh, no.
Wiggles.
No, they're teenagers. So, you know, the top 40 is
Lil
big.
Uzi Vert.
Yeah. I have to really check myself. Sometimes my son will put on music and I'm like, you can't twerk to that in front of him. Because it's like this instant reaction. Some songs, you know, they just, you have to twerk to them, or I have twerked to them and they made me good money.
Right.
That's what you have to think about constantly. That's what you think about when you hear it.
Right.
Kyra, what about you? What do you listen to? What are your CDs? You got a top 3? A favorite song?
I have a thumbprint. So, like, I really like this band called Borns. they sing the song Electric Love, which I'm sure you guys have heard. It was on like the pop stations and stuff. I like a band called Steely Dan.
Oh, Steely Dan. Wow, old school.
Yeah. And then it's hard for me to pick just a couple. I like Morphine a lot.
Morphine. What is your, like, favorite CD of all time? Like, your whole, the drug Morphine. Like, if you had to pick a CD, do you have any favorite CD, like, of a whole CD that you used to listen to?
That I could just listen to the whole time?
Yep.
Yes, Roundabout.
Roundabout. Is that the band or is that the CD?
Yes is the band. Roundabout is the CD.
Oh, yes. Like, the 70s rock band, Yes.
Yeah.
Look at you. Like, yeah, going old school. Yeah, I remember, like, Yes, Fragile, I think, is one of their CDs they have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. TNT's like, I got
nothing. I like Boston a lot. I like Floyd.
See, like, 80s rock. 80s, 70s rock stuff.
I also like 90s. Like, I like Alice in Chains a lot. I like,
Three-Legged Dog.
Yeah, the Three-Legged Dog.
I like, Sublime.
Yeah, okay.
Slime's
good.
Cottonmouth Kings, like.
Oh, you have very wide musical taste.
ICP.
I love music.
ICP, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm very widespread too. My mom used to work at a music store when I was a kid, so I've heard, I go from, you know, rap, R&B to rock to whatever I like. You know, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. Another random question. I don't know if you listen to or get to know the host show, maybe this wasn't even on there. If you guys could put two animals together and make a new animal with logistics not being a problem, what animal would you make?
Yeah, these are hard-hitting questions.
We'll tell you ours first.
Serious shit right here.
We'll tell you ours first, so that way you guys have time to think. TNT, why don't you tell them the super imaginative one you came up with?
Are you talking about my dragon?
He goes, I'll create a dragon. I'm like, that's a...
Is there mythical creatures?
No.
Are we allowed?
See, that's
no.
I was confused. I would put a lizard and the dragon, the dog dragon from the Neverending Story.
I did. My first one was a horse and a cheetah. Could have some crazy horse cheetah monster. What we call it, a cheetah or a chorse? And then a mosquito and an alligator. So you could have like a mosquito with like an alligator head and the mosquito like blood sucker.
That sounds awful.
Like, terrifying.
Is it supposed to have a good resolution or is it supposed to be something awful? Like,
anything you want. Just mix something together. Something you think would be cool to see.
Your twisted imagination.
I for some have always been really obsessed with monkeys. I don't know why. And kangaroos. So I don't know how the logistics of that all would work together. Awesome.
That is fucking metal.
Like, but what kind of monkey? Like a chimpanzee or like a baboon or like a gorilla?
Small monkey.
So like a spider monkey and a kangaroo?
Yeah, like the ones that you see at the zoo and they're like flipping around from tree to tree, you know? I don't know how that...
little kangaroo legs?
Yeah.
When I pressured TNT, he came up with a really good one. He said he wanted to mix gorillas and monarch butterflies, so you'd have gorillas with monarch butterfly wings flying around.
Oh my gosh. That'd be cool. I'd like that one. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. See, the only thing I keep seeing in my head is a rhino and an otter. That's it. A rotter. It's okay. I really like rhinos. They're like the firefighters of the jungle. Like if they see a fire, they'll run and stomp it out. And I like otters because they're
So do you
and
want
like,
a rhino?
And I like elephants, but rhino? I think rhino and elephants are too close. I don't know.
A rhino with an otter tail.
Yeah, would it be a rhino with an otter tail or like a otter body with a rhino head and a tail? Like, how would you
so
do
hard,
it?
Because I like the noises otters make. So it's really hard for me.
So
like
can
they have
rhino with
a rhino head and an otter body with the otter voice box?
Oh, there we go.
What about proportions? What are we talking? Rhino proportions? Are we talking otter proportions?
The otter is the size of the rhino. It's a huge ass otter.
Oh, my God.
A big, so it's like a bear.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a bear.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. All right, one more random question. If you could take any animal and shrink it down to the size of a cat as a pet, what animal would it be?
An elephant.
An elephant? I actually picked rhino was mine. Like a little rhino running around the house. Like,
that's cute.
That would be awesome.
Danger.
I picked a deer because I would like to have like a little mini deer.
Audrey Hepburn, the actress, actually owned a deer as a pet. Yeah.
I saw one on a camping trip. It jumped out of somebody's motorhome. It was their pet.
It was their motorhome. The deer were staying there. They were also camping.
Like, start a fire!
I had a friend in Ohio. Her dad raised and breeded reindeer and sold them. He had a whole farm. Like, he had, like, 30 reindeer on his property.
That sounds like a real Ohio thing to do.
Hey, don't judge Midwest happenings, okay? Come on.
I know. I'm like, seriously.
Anybody I know...
Like, France are coming to life.
Anybody I've ever met that lives in Ohio has told me how awful of a place it is.
See, I loved Ohio. I mean, I live in Texas now, but I loved Ohio. There wasn't a lot to do, but it was a pretty good place for me. We lived up near Cleveland, though, so... That's where we grew up.
A lot
so.
More to do.
Yeah, we weren't not so rural. Really. Yeah.
Not no. Really.
Not at all. Really?
What?
There wasn't a lot to do in Cleveland.
What? No, there's not. There's more now. But what about you, Shay? What animal would you shrink down for a pet?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm literally so obsessed with monkeys. It would be a gorilla. It would have to be a mini gorilla. I really want a dragon, but I feel like that's not an animal.
I know.
Octopus.
I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones, but, like, I'm so obsessed with Khaleesi and her
no
dragon.
No spoilers.
I know. I haven't seen the last two episodes, so shush.
Watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't
watch it either.
I want to be Khaleesi.
I think since everybody else watches it, I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, me too. I kind of like, eh, whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
So you want a gorilla dragon?
Gorilla dragon. Yeah, there we go.
A gorilla with dragon wings?
A dragon?
Well, honestly, if you think of a gorilla dragon, and so it's a gorilla with dragon wings, is actually the adult version of TNT's gorilla with monarch butterfly wings. When it's born, it's a gorilla with monarch butterfly wings, and then as it gets older, it grows dragon wings.
And then it breathes fire and shit, too. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
That's great. Yep.
I like where you guys take that.
Do you guys believe in ghosts? Have you had any paranormal activity happen?
I am literally the biggest scaredy cat in the whole entire world. But I don't know. I haven't given a lot
of... I'm afraid of the dark. I'm legit so
afraid. Can I be honest? If I'm in the dark and I'm like, feel scared, and this is going to like... What a loser. Since I was younger, I literally sing a song, and all this song is I go, Jesus, 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 as I'm running in the dark until I get to the light.
So you yell Jesus until you get to the light?
Yeah.
That's kind of like is that a metaphor for, like, life? Like, the life cycle, you're coming from the dark to the light, saving it, and Jesus is...
Maybe.
whatever
I'm doing it like, if I say it, I'm like,
is the girl that always tells me I'm not religious.
I'm not religious. I don't have a religion, but I do believe in God. I'm spiritual, and I think what I believe is totally different than what everybody else believes, but your walk is your walk, and mine is mine. You do you. Right.
But you know what? That song has kept you safe forever.
I know. I have not eaten by a monster.
You never had, like, a painting fall off the wall, or doors that flush in toilets, doors that close or open?
Did you say a door that flushed the toilet?
Yeah,
that would literally freak me the fuck out.
Yes. Then I would believe in ghosts. Wow.
What about aliens? Either you've been abducted?
I haven't been abducted, but I do think aliens are real.
Okay.
Man, has anyone ever told you ghost stories that you know, like friends, family, anything told you a ghost story about they lived in a house that had like weird shit going on or?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
I really thought this would be a bigger segment.
I'm more agnostic about it. Like, if I had solid proof, I would believe, but I don't not believe, you know?
Yeah, that's me. I'm very, like, if I have to, like, have some sort of, like, tangible evidence or, like, I have to have something to be able to, like, grasp my hands on to, like...
Yeah. I'm not a big speculator about anything. I'm more of, like, a fact kind of person. Like, you show me a fact, I'll believe it, but I'm not going to believe, like, what a myth, you know, so to speak, so...
And I have, like, recollection of, like, night paralysis mixed with, like, bad dreams and shit like that, but I can't really think anything. I did a lot of drugs during my younger years, so that might have something to do with it. But I'll have to search my memory bank to see if I have something.
Yeah, something going on.
Kyra
so.
Does have alien porn.
I do.
How's that work, exactly?
I was an alien.
I got, like, sclera... contact, so my eyes were all black, and I was an alien queen, and then, like, I made them fuck me, I abducted the human, and I needed his seed so I could produce a large brood of new aliens. So,
was this a request or something you thought of?
It was a custom.
Oh, that's awesome. Man,
that it was awesome. A lot of fun, and I take my shit really serious. So, I bought my...
I know about the whole process as she's, preparing for it. I get a play-by-play.
Yeah.
You have to do any adjustments to the Orify in order to...
My Orify?
Yeah, for the any makeup or costume design.
No, I didn't do anything like that. But the way I filmed it with, I got, this silver backdrop, and then I put a purple light in, so my skin automatically looked a different color.
Okay. That's cool. So creative. Look at you. You should, should get into, set production and shit. You know, just trying to...
Like I said, I wouldn't hate being a producer.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, you should get in a job where you just help girls make custom videos. And you can, set up the sets and all that shit whenever you get tired of making them yourself. Then they can pay you to do their set design. That'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you're I'm down. But you guys always ask everyone what the highlight of their... career is. So I was wondering what the highlight of your, and even if you have a low light you want to throw in there too, we can get the both ends of the spectrum.
I wouldn't say it was a highlight, but I mean, I remember going to AVN last year, the adult video network awards. We didn't actually go to the awards, but there's a conference that's the whole week. And I remember landing in Vegas and just being I'm a sex worker. I can be a sex worker. I'm Shay. I can tell everybody I'm a sex worker. And everybody was really, really accepting. I met some really, really awesome girls. The whole experience was really freeing, if that makes sense. And so it really, I'm really looking forward to going again this year. Kyra's going to be with me again this year, and we're going for the podcast. We're not going for ourselves. We're going for the podcast this year, so that should be fun. But just be that free feeling of being able to you're surrounded by 10,000 sex workers, and everybody's just so open and honest about it, and everybody's half naked and filming porn and masturbating in weird places, and yeah, you need to be at AVN.
Well, I imagine it felt great because you said you're so reserved and hidden most of the time. It was the one time it just didn't matter. You could just, it is what it is. I'm open and free as I want to be, and everyone else is awesome,
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and everybody was whatever, I am too, So mm-hmm. I remember the taxi driver was or our Uber or whatever was what is it all about? Tell me. And, you still want to kind of be cautious because you're I can't tell these people too much information, mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're just totally open about being a sex worker and proud of it, It was a cool feeling.
That's sweet. What about you, Kyra?
Meeting me.
Yeah, that was nice, but I've known her for a long time, so I'm over it. It's hard because, I want to say, the highlight was something monetary, but, I've had so many good things happen to me. I feel like I've met a lot of really great people, and, I'm getting ready to go to my first convention in November. And so I'm super stoked about going to this convention. I've never been on a plane before. I've only left my state once. And so, I'm pretty nervous, but I think that that's going to be a huge experience for me. I'll get to meet Shay in person, and we'll get mm-hmm. to kind of have a good time, I assume.
The process of getting her on the plane so far has been interesting, and she's not even there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're broadening
how many months away is this?
It's in early November.
Oh, so just so here, yeah, so not too long. Oh, man, yeah. So now you have only a few weeks to think about it and dwell on it and all that shit.
Well, and the thing is, too, is, we already paid for housing, so it's not like I can, back out and I'm getting ready to buy my plane ticket. So it's, at this point, there's...
We're staying in a house with 10 other girls.
Yeah.
So
wow, that'll be awesome.
Well, we're going for the podcast this time, too, because we figured, it would be silly to go to this event and for us to film content, because, for me, my girl stuff does not sell very well. Mm-hmm. That's not what my clientele wants to see me do. They don't really like seeing me do the girl stuff. And so it's like, it seems silly to do that. And so why not go to the convention and have stickers and have pins and have like a mic hooked up to our phone so we can do live interviews?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And, like, cause that's our demographic. Like, people want to know about themselves and like they get to hear things and it's nice to be able to listen to something and be able to relate to it.
I was gonna say, and you also can get your podcast out to other adult industry people that aren't cam models, you know what
exactly.
I mean? So it's, you know, porn stars or whatever else, you know, that may, who they have no idea it's out there. They're like, oh shit. All right. I'll go on their podcast and talk about the adult film industry or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we've had really good luck, like, getting guests. We haven't had we haven't had much difficulty getting people to come on, but we definitely are, like, in with the cam, like, the industry we talk about on our podcast, the umbrella of sex work is so big now that, you know, we definitely are in, like, the cam girl part of it. And so getting guests that are outside of cam girls has been a little more difficult because they don't know us and they're not trusting of us per se. Or so we get a lot of cam models that listen, but not so much the other aspects of sex work. So
producing, and
it's so big. So
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I think that could be a really big, good thing for you guys. I mean, just the exposure. I mean, shit, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We're hoping so. But I don't really have a lull either. I guess last July I had a cyst and I couldn't work for like 6 weeks because I had to have surgery and stuff. Mm. And so like it was like I wasn't making any money, but I literally couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
So that kind of blew.
Yeah,
but
so let me ask you a random question. What do cam girls do when it's like that time of the month? Do you just not work that week or what? Like, or do you
I have
work
literally
around
had
it or?
One period this year. I have endometriosis, and I've had one period this whole entire year, and it was like 3 days long. So for me, it doesn't matter. But my advice to girls that do get their periods is do spank shows, do tit shows, do blowjob shows.
Hitachi shows where there's no insertion. A lot of girls use, like, soft cups, I think they are.
Or you take seafoam sponges.
Yeah.
And wet them down a little bit and you can shove them upside you. That's a porn trade secret.
No,
there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that monthly is for a extended period of time and you work, if you know, some of those girls work consistently daily, all hours and hours, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I had a hysterectomy 11 years ago, so I don't have that problem either. I forget it happens.
Yeah.
Right. So luckily for you guys, you really don't have that issue because both of you don't really have periods.
It is an issue for girls that do. So
So sorry that happens to you, ladies.
Sorry about your luck.
But
yeah, right?
I never have another kid, so there's that, and you can. So
You take the good with the bad, right?
Right.
You know, it's now. Do you have if there happens to be any person listening right now that wants to get into this industry, what is any sort of advice you would give them? How to get in? What they should do? Anything?
Go to sexworkbb.com and listen to our podcast.
There you go. You'll learn a lot there. That's a good idea. Just go listen to our podcast. In my head, I was like, we talk about stuff. If you want to do it, do research before you start and decide to invest in a good camera. Invest in a good camera and good lighting when you start because that's really important.
Okay. Do you guys have, like, a light setup for when you do shows and stuff? I mean, that's, like, an external, like, movie set type light setup sort of deal?
Yeah, a lot of us use ring lights or
I have a box light.
Okay. So basically, if you want to start camming, make sure you get some sort of, like, professional lighting equipment to help you out so you aren't in the dark or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and be mentally prepared, too, that this job is not easy. It sounds easy because you're, like, quick money. It's not quick money. It's going to take a long time. You got to be consistent and you have to realize like I don't Snapchat a lot on the weekends because my kids are home from school, but like I have to Snapchat and I have to like talk to people constantly. I have to be on social media constantly. I need to be promoting my videos. I need to be uploading to sites to make sure my videos stay at the top. Like,
you never really get to step away from it. Mm-hmm. And also be prepared for the stigmas that go with it. Know what you're getting into. A lot of girls, like, people will record our shows and then upload them on the internet, and the girls are like, one of my shows are recorded and I'm on the internet now naked, and I didn't know that was going to happen. And you're out there and you're going to be out there, and it could be there for a really long time. And there's girls who have lost custody of their children. There's girls who have not been able to get jobs. There's girls who, I mean, there's a lot of negativity that goes around it that you are putting yourself at the risk to. So just be aware that that is real and can happen, so that if it does happen to you, you're not like, I mean, I remember when my video got put up on Pornhub, I had no clue. And I was like, now what? You know, like you're in shock. So know the risk you're taking. You might not ever be able to get a job doing, you know, some things because.
Teaching.
Right.
You know, people, and one of the things is doing this, some people will assume that like you're some sort of sexual deviant because you do this stuff. And so they just assume prepared. The worst of you.
Yeah.
Right. So have your mental preparedness as much as your physical equipment. And hardware and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And have a thick skin. I mean, we deal with a lot of really great people, but we deal with a lot of really, really crappy people too. Right, so, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You touched on, Amy, you're doing it all the time. And I think that's true with any entertainment sort of thing. Like even like with this podcast, I mean, I'm constantly on Twitter replying to people that reply to me. If you don't do that, if you don't engage, people don't know. I mean, you have to push yourself out. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
You know, especially when you first start and no one knows who the hell you are. Why are they going to listen to you or watch your show if they have no idea who the hell you are? You know, right. So.
Well, I think her and I were fortunate because we had already been, like, combined when we started doing it, we had, like, 11,000 followers from our personal, like, sex work accounts. And so we made the podcast and we're like, hey, we're doing this podcast. Come follow us. Come listen. So without that,
it was easier for us probably to start the podcast than it was for you guys. Where
oh yeah, I had no prior experience. I had no hookups. I had no whatever. I mean, I did everything from the ground up, man. I just put in a bunch of damn networking, and I'm constantly reaching out to people about being on the show. You know, you have to, or people are going to forget who you are. So
you become a marketer and a. I mean, that's why when people ask what we do, we're like, well, we're a marketer, graphic designer, cam girl. Like, I mean, what do you want us to be? We pretty much do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. And people don't think about that. Even for, you know, for you guys, they don't want to think about, you need someone to put together your site and do your graphics, your videos. Yeah. If you don't know how to do it or aren't willing to learn, that's a lot of money you got to shell out or find other people to do
it for
free or whatever.
Well, and who are you
going
to find to do it for you?
Right. Right.
I mean, people aren't, like, inclined to be like, oh, I'll make some graphics for your store. Like, there are models that pay people. Like, they've done it because there's no niche for it.
Right.
So.
Right, absolutely. TNT, you got anything else? You got anything else on your questions?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm just all enjoying.
Right. He got his joke in, so he's not.
Yeah. He's been playing in that shit.
Four weeks I've been holding that, he said. I know.
Serious.
Oh, so. No, but, guys, I mean, I had a blast. I really thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
do you guys want to tell everyone where to find you on your podcast, where you guys can cam, your Twitter, anything you want to give, just let everybody know so they can find you.
Yeah, well, let me get a pen and paper, though.
Well, no, I think that her and I both, on this level, we don't really use the podcast to promote our own personal like videos and clip making. That's we don't do it for that. We do it for the podcast. Like we're really passionate about this.
But
and
since he shouted out your videos, there's probably a bunch of people curious where to get your videos.
Go to kyravids.com. kyravids.com.
And then how do they follow you on Twitter for the podcast or your personal or whatever?
My personal is at Kyra KYRA Kane KANE MFC. That's my personal. And then Shay's is, you want to do it or you want me to do it?
Go for it.
At Shay, S-H-A-Y-E, _ Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 3, on Twitter. And then our Sex Work BB is at Sex Work BB. And it's pretty easy. You can find it
just the letter BB.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right.
Well, I just want to thank you guys so much for doing the interview, and then we'll be right back.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
TNT Dynamite. Huh. I enjoyed that interview so much.
Yeah, man. They were great.
Yeah, they were really awesome. I have no idea what Shay Taylor's up to now. I mean, she's left the Sex Work BB podcast, but Kyra Kane is doing an amazing job on her own.
Yeah, yeah.
So make sure you guys check out their podcast. It is great. Well, Kyra's podcast. It's awesome. And, you know, of course, follow us on Twitch. Again, it's twitch.tv/crazytownmedia. Also, YouTube channel, Crazy Town Media. Subscribe to that shit.
Get on there and subscribe to that shit.
The Twitter at Crazy Town Media. Do you see a trend here? Crazy Town Media is taking over the globe, TNT.
We're no longer just a Crazy Town podcast.
Nope.
We're branching out.
We are. We're
Crazy Town Movie 2019.
Turned to a little enterprise. So, all right, everybody. We'll be back with another interview episode of Dr. Raymond Youngblood Jr., the international gold miner. So look forward to that. And for Jonas, for TNT Dynamite, we are out.